This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the Fozcasting voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Hello, Matthew. How are we? That was almost said with a tinge of jealousy. Well, or hatred.
Feel a bit, you know.
Cheated on.
Yep.
Neglected. With this? I wondered betrayed. Why you've been funny since I walked in here today.
I mean, we are in new surroundings today.
Again, I mean, we are just rent a space.
Well, not rent a space. You've actually come to my humble abode for the first time ever.
I have. It's really nice. I'm shocked. It's lovely.
Well, it's the least you could do. The least.
Absolutely. It's nice that you invited me around. I mean, it's more circumstantial than anything, let's be honest, because I was passing. But no, it's perfect. I mean, hopefully the sound quality will be all right. I mean, it's looks like quality walls.
Yes, solid. A bit echoey, maybe.
But yeah. It would be all right. No, I'm really, really impressed.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Well, like I said, it's the least you could do. There's not really any point doing the show, is there?
Kind of already done it.
You've done it already.
Really good show.
Was it?
Yeah, if you get a chance, go and check out the Football Fill-In. Okay. It's called Football Fill-In. That's what it's called, I think.
And that's part of?
Well, I think it's part of the Fozcast.
Well, it's him presenting it, so I would imagine
he's got so many shows. I didn't realise how many shows. Do you know who was on after me?
Go on.
Robbie Williams.
What, on the Fozcast?
Yeah. So actually, my Fozcast won't go out until next week because Robbie Williams has trumped me. So he's going out this week.
Wow.
There you go.
Did you meet him?
No. So I left, they were kind of like shoveling me out, basically, you know, to welcome him in. But I think he was actually a couple of hours after me. So he's a big Port Vale fan.
He is a Port Vale fan. Yeah. Yes, very much so.
So they were preparing for that. So, yeah, I kind of, a little bit concerning though that I'm following Robbie Williams. You know, is that Sean Dyche and Robbie Williams and me?
Well, they've had the support. Now for the main event. Right, the main act.
There you go. The fluffers, that's what we call them.
So, how did it go? I mean, this is quite a big deal, right? You're on the Fozcast next week, which is huge.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it. It was... So again, it's all kind of come on the back of the Newcastle thing that obviously generated a little bit of traction. We spoke about it in depth on our pod a week or two back. So it was kind of on the back of that. We did speak about it then about, you know, it could be quite interesting to go into a bit of detail. Obviously, we've already gone into quite a bit of detail here, but a lot of his listeners, didn't know the full story, maybe from my perspective, our perspective. So yeah, went into a bit of detail on that. And then it sort of led into a conversation on agency and being a goalkeeping agent and how that works, the strategy that sits behind it. It touched on why some agents get a bad name. So went into some details. So I think it'll be an interesting pod for people.
Okay, and the fill-in was about the weekend's action as well.
Yeah, which, I mean, why I was on that, I'm not too sure, because I know nothing about outfield football. Literally nothing. There was a question, there was a couple of questions. In fact, there was one question, without giving this away. In fact, no, because it's already gone out, I think, where they asked the question, which Chelsea player scored against his former club this weekend? Just gone. Honestly, I sat there. Bearing in mind, it's only a 60-second quiz. I must have spent 15 seconds trying to think of a Chelsea player. And the only one I could come up with was Raheem Sterling. So I said Raheem Sterling. Of course, Raheem Sterling's never played for Crystal Palace, who they played against. So just a ridiculous answer. Instantly felt foolish. Do you know, the only ones I got were actually old-school Man United questions. So there was one, here you go. Which Man United player scored 5 goals in a game?
What, just the first player too? Andrew Cole.
Ipswich, there you go. So there you go. That was one. I got that. And there was another. Oh, that was on. I got a bonus point because they said, who's the first ever player to score a hat trick in a Manchester derby?
Right.
And they said, the answer was Haaland. And I was like, well, no, I remember Kanchelskis getting a hat trick. I don't know if Kanchelskis was the first, but.
First in the Premier League.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go. But I did remember that. So they did give me a bonus point, which meant that I wasn't bottom of the table.
Okay. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done, you.
Thank you.
I actually have to say that I looked at a few of the comments because, wow. They get some comments.
Right.
They really do. And Mega Slanguage said, I like Richard Lee. Really good guest.
There you go.
Okay.
That's all you need to read. Let's move on.
Well, we've got some more.
Oh, excellent.
Ted Salt says, Richard Lee, what a legend. He was class at Brentford. Everybody loved him. Didn't he go on Dragon's Den with his hat business? Didn't realise he's now an agent. Laugh emoji.
Okay.
So that's not bad.
It's nice. I'll take that.
Yeah. Sam Bright.
Can't help but feel they go downhill from here.
Well. Richard Lee has such a soothing voice, ha-ha.
Yeah.
Go on.
It's a lot lately.
Are you?
A lot. I got in a cab a couple of days ago. Someone said, you should be on the radio. At which point I said, well, actually I was. I told him the whole love sports story.
Did you?
Told him the whole sorry tale. Yeah. No, I'm getting it a lot at the moment. Someone else said to me, just keep talking, and it makes them feel really sleepy.
Did you then say to the guy in the cab, I also do a podcast on goalkeeping, because you're not very good at doing that.
I'm not good. You're not very good at this. And I get the link wrong when you send it to people.
Considering the fact you were just on the Fozcast, which has in excess of hundreds of thousands of listeners, I think your one is already up to 200,000 or something close to that. Wow. Not one single mention. You were on it with the United fan, Mark Goldbridge.
Yeah.
He kept referencing his YouTube channel, the platform that he's on. At no point did you mention the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
It's so simple, isn't it?
The work I put in.
Yeah, I was so nervous. I just forgot.
Hardy Har, which I think is my favourite one. Richard Lee sounds like, all caps, caramel. What a voice.
Wow, my voice is getting a lot of love. I might just take it. Might just take it down a notch.
And one more.
Go.
From Christian Shandaria. Richard Lee just seems like such a cool guy. The next James Bond, question mark?
Wow.
I mean, what is he on?
Some of these comments are just, can't help but feel you've left out the bad ones, which I'd really appreciate. But caramel, delicious.
Yeah, well done you.
Well, thank you. Thank
well
you.
Done
that
you.
That is a good start to my day.
I mean, you didn't pick me up because I thought we were going together. No, we were going to be on the show.
Oh, did you not get my... No? I'm getting terrible reception lately. I don't know if it's WhatsApp's playing up or what have you. It's a nightmare at the moment. Yeah, single tick.
It's a real shame, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you'd have loved it as well.
Would I?
You actually would have. I know the annoying thing is, and I'm not saying it's just to be an idiot, you would have loved it. Like the surroundings, the studio, you know, the equipment. I mean, we're sat here. I mean, it makes this look tin pot. Really. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, you know what they say, mate. Behind every Brian Clough is a Peter Taylor. There we go.
Is that I've never heard that, but is that right? Is that what they say?
He's a goalkeeper, to be fair, Peter Taylor. Peter Taylor.
Of course I know Peter Taylor, yeah. But is that an expression?
No, you're thinking of the wrong Peter Taylor,
aren't
you?
I'm thinking of the ex-Gillingham ex. Yeah, no, not him. Okay.
Peter Taylor and Brian Clough, arguably the most successful one and two of that era.
Ah, okay.
Without Peter Taylor, Brian Clough, what did he say about him? He said he was the... What was it that he said?
I don't know.
He's the shop window.
Yeah.
Brian Clough is the shop window, which is effectively you.
Yeah.
Which I guess people would say is the eye candy.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But Peter Taylor was the stuff in the back. So the goods in the back.
That's what me and you are.
Yeah.
Like Batman and Robin.
Well, we have plenty coming up, don't we?
We do.
Plenty coming up. Behind every David James is a Tony Warner. There's one.
That's a more
contemporary reference.
Behind every Peter Schmeichel. He had a few, didn't he?
I knew you were going to go with Schmeichel.
Kevin Pilkington. It always comes back to Peter Schmeichel.
It does. Yeah. Still, behind every De Gea is a...
Behind every Ben Foster, there was a Richard Lee for one season. There you go.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Starting in the Premier League and at the Emirates, Arsenal 3, Tottenham 1, the North London derby, where Hugo Lloris made a strong save from Gabriel Jesus in the first half. However, not such a strong save in allowing Jesus to put Arsenal ahead in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, again, by all means, if you've already heard this on the football fill-in, then you know you probably don't want to hear me say exactly the same thing again. But no, I felt a little bit for him on this one. And I know I always do. I'm always on the goalkeeper's side, it seems. However, this one, look, the first save, can he get it wider? It's that real awkward one where in a perfect world, you get two hands to it. If you get two hands to it, potentially you can hold it. I don't know if you do, given the pace and the dip on the shot, but it's almost too close to him, if that makes sense. It's so far inside that to try and angle your parry outside is probably riskier than doing what he did to try and twist the hand and shovel it around the post. So I don't mind the first save. The difficulty is that you, to get your bearings, to get yourself up, you're focusing on that. The balls then come in such a way where he can't get his body behind it. So you're so reliant on your hands to cup the ball. You don't necessarily have anything behind you to cup it. So what's ended up happening, it's that perfect storm of everything going wrong, where he's then tried to cup it without anything behind it, and it's horrible as it squirms through and it looks terrible as he hits the deck. And the fact that, of course, it's shown in the slowest slow motion. I mean, I didn't know slow motion could get that slow, so it just looks worse and worse. Whereas when you see it in real time, you realize that it is all in a split second. He's tried to grasp it, couldn't quite do it, squirmed through, horrible, ball ends up in the net. But yeah, you watch it in super slow-mo, it doesn't look good.
Fair play to Harry Kane, by the way. I think we should mention this because he would have taken a fair few penalties against Aaron Ramsdale over the past few weeks. International duty, of course, they were both there with England. So to beat Aaron Ramsdale from the spot in the manner that he did, I think, you know, sometimes you've got to put your hands up and say, well done.
Indeed, and he didn't do what perhaps Aaron Ramsdale thought. And I would have done the same as Aaron Ramsdale. I would have thought that he would have reverted to type and gone, whipped it across himself in the way that he does. So I think Aaron Ramsdale did what most of us would do. And credit to Harry Kane for predicting that and effectively doing a Panenka of sorts. It was a good penalty.
Okay, Liverpool 3, Brighton 3. Eventful afternoon for Alisson and Robert Sanchez. Let's do Alisson first.
Yeah, both, I suppose, similar for both, in that both made excellent saves. I mean, Alisson in particular, the save one-on-one, the reading of the game, the speed at which he came out, and the prediction as the shots come in. For those that haven't seen it, he's come a good 8-9 yards out of his goal. The ball's then squared, and he's read that it's going to be smashed in the corner, and he's effectively done the splits in order to make the save with his feet. I just thought the reading of the game here and the way in which he's moved his body, yeah, excellent. Very, very good. Could he do better on the shot that then is struck at him? It's a funny one because it's effectively struck at his face and he's gone with one hand, and most of the time that hits your hand and it goes out and you make the save. This one, it's odd how it's kind of hit his hand and then angled down into the corner. So he'll be frustrated with it in that it's absolutely smashed from 6 yards. So I think I'm always wary to call it an error because I just think that when it's struck that hard from so close, to react in that time is so difficult. But naturally, he'll be a little bit frustrated that the hand he was able to get on it didn't get around the post, or if it had perhaps just stood still, it might have just hit him in the face and he would have made the save. So a frustrating one. And similarly, Rob Sanchez, a couple of excellent saves. Again, the one down to his right from the free kick was very good. Interesting, it was his side. So as a rule of thumb, I'd always say if it is your side, certainly from that distance, that you would expect to make the save. But I think with him taking up such a true position, maybe even having half a step to the left behind the wall to then get back on himself and make the save, I thought was phenomenal. But then the ball that did beat him from the cross, naturally be a little bit frustrated with that one. But again, it's that we say it so often on this podcast, the fact that he's trying to be so effective, he does come for so many crosses. You know, the example back in the day would have been a David James, whereas I loved how David James played. He was so effective. But naturally, the more crosses you come for from time to time, you are going to miss one or two. I kind of feel like that might have been a similar example here with Rob Sanchez, that again, he is trying to affect play. But yeah, he just misjudged this one.
We saw something similar, didn't we, in League Two with Max Crocombe in Grimsby as well. Very similar scenario.
Yeah, very similar. You're right. And it's that horrible one where it is played into that front post. You'll see a lot of goalkeepers that will just spin and turn to the line. And they'll get beaten more often than not because when the ball is played into that area, if there's a free header, you're going to get beaten. So I quite like the fact that goalkeepers are trying to come and affect play, coming into that near post area. A lot of the time you're having to reach over bodies to try and get a punch on the ball. It's a really hard technique to do, especially when it's whipped in swinger. When it's an outswinger, again, you will see a lot of goalkeepers just revert to the line and look to make the save. So I just hope for both of their points of view, it's not one where they change completely and do that, because I quite like the fact they're trying to affect play. But yeah, in both of these situations, they weren't able to get to the ball.
Alisson, by the way, did an interview after the game. So he's effectively English now.
Amazing.
Incredible.
Amazing.
When you think he's really been here good. For what? 4-5 years now? Yeah. And when he first came, I remember his interview with the club, with Liverpool, he was doing it in Portuguese because I guess he wasn't that confident with his English. Now, fluent.
Yeah, Liverpudlian.
Yeah.
Who would have guessed? No, really impressive. I know it's not really to do with goalkeeping, but actually it is,
well,
I guess.
He's a goalkeeper, so it is.
Well, it is. No, but it is in that we talk a lot about the communication. And of course, that is something when a foreign goalkeeper comes over here, probably something we don't talk about enough, but you know, I know from playing in the teams I played in how important it is to build that connection with your defenders, and it's so tough if you don't speak the language. You're trying to give that information as quickly as you can because it can be the difference between a shot on goal and not. So yeah, for him to learn it and to learn it the level that he has, I guess that says a lot about him as a character and his commitment to, well, both himself and the game.
A few more in the Premier League. Kepa back in for Chelsea. Good to see him doing well. A victory for them at Selhurst Park. Conor Gallagher with the winner, mate. There you go.
Yes, he did play for Crystal Palace. There you go. Great save from Kepa down to his right. Looked really good. Again, body language was, on the whole, very good. I thought this particular save, set well, exploded low to his right very quickly, good hand to it, got up very quickly as well, importantly, because he put the ball into a good area, but got there quickly to make sure that there was no chance of a follow-up. Top save.
And Jordan Pickford, back in goal for Everton, back doing his thing. And a quick word on Nick Pope as well, in for England over the past couple of weeks. Very solid, as you'd expect, but that one moment in the game with Germany, which everybody is, of course, now focusing on. Yeah,
really frustrating for him, because it was a tough shot. The way it was described, I didn't actually watch the game live, I watched it back, and the way that it was described to me, I thought, oh, he's had an absolute moment. And then I've seen it, and I thought, oh, such a difficult shot to deal with, you know, to be able to hold that. Yeah, you know, but of course, look at that level, I guess there is that expectation that you should hold it, but... yeah, it's not a terrible error. It ends up in a goal. But some of the things I've seen written about him since, it's almost like that was his chance and now it's gone and now he's going to be out in the cold again, which I really hope that isn't the case because, again, he's been so good for Newcastle. And like you say, other than that moment in the game, I thought he was very good. So, yeah, I guess we shall see. But from Jordan Pickford's point of view, credit to him because, of course, our good friend, Asmir Begovic, stepped in like he did for me. And it's always difficult then coming back in after an Asmir Begovic has taken your place and you've got to then come back in and, you know, put in a performance. But credit to him, just like myself, he did.
Okay, finishing up at the Etihad, which I didn't think we were really going to talk about too much, but the backlash on De Gea for this game is something quite remarkable. Now, loads has been said about the fact that Erik ten Hag wants a ball-playing goalkeeper. Gary Neville says that De Gea's days at United are effectively numbered because he's not good enough with his feet. There was a tweet as well that ordinarily I wouldn't pay attention to, but because it's from Dominic Booth, who is a content writer for the Manchester Evening News, covers both United and City, I thought, well, you know, it's got a bit of credibility to it because he works for the Manchester Evening News. So a lot of people focus on what he says. Now, he has said, for the goal. Now, this is the goal. I can't remember what number goal it was. It was the one that was whipped in by Kevin De Bruyne, a lovely cross, and where Haaland has slid in, which he's done so many times seemingly this season, but finished it off effectively into an empty net because De Gea, at this point, is unable to reach the cross and get across his goal quick enough. But Dominic Booth says, look at De Gea in these images for City's third goal. There you go, it's the third one. During the time De Bruyne plays the pass, his feet stay rooted to the same spot. He has to come out and smother it. Instead, he virtually lets Haaland score.
Unbelievable.
Can you believe that?
It's just, I think he said then, he obviously got a bit of a backlash.
Yeah, he was.
It's just a ridiculous point to make. But it is concerning that, as you say, this is someone who's got, he's got a blue tick. So he must be, you know, which is, I mean, for those of us that
there you go. Have a that confirms tick. Your status so, in I mean, life, doesn't it? As long as you have a blue tick on Twitter, you are someone worth talking to.
Someone worth talking to. And you've just said this, which now concerns me. If you've not got a Bluetooth, no, it does. This it annoys me, the fact that he's got a voice and he'll, look, we're all welcome to opinions, but how can you have this opinion? Like, let's just consider the situation. De Bruyne's, what, midfield, so he's a good sort of 10 yards outside of the box, I'd say, slightly on the angle, whipped it in. I don't know if it even gets in the six-yard box, you know, until it gets to Haaland. So for De Gea to, you know, inverted commas, smother this. Well, for a start, the ball's being whipped across in the way that it is at pace. So he'd have to travel a good 6 yards off his line for what would be a cross that you're taking. Of course, as a goalkeeper, you're taught to catch across at his highest point. Well, it never gets above knee height. You know, it's such a brilliant ball in. So imagine that he does that. He wanders out 6-7 yards to try and get it at the earliest point. There's a very, very good chance for a start that he doesn't get there, because it is a good 6-7 yards away from him. It's not a natural movement for a goalkeeper to do. There's also an even bigger chance that someone gets in ahead of him and just taps it into an empty net. So you can't necessarily know who's going to come in and attack that. So it's just a crazy point to make. It's such a good ball in, never gets anywhere near De Gea, and then it's a brilliant finish from Haaland. Just nothing you can do. I mean, this was a conversation that I had where no doubt De Gea would have been getting threes and fours in the paper, but you actually look at his performance in isolation, there's nothing he can do on the six goals. They're brilliant goals, all of them. They're so clinical. And his game on the whole was actually pretty good. Made a couple of saves and was solid on the whole. But this is, again, the life of a goalie, where you can come out and effectively be a 8 out of 10, not really put a foot wrong, but you concede six goals. And of course, if you do that, you're going to be getting threes and fours in the paper, and you'll get the likes of this person saying the kind of things that he's saying, trying to look for something that just isn't there.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where Billy Sharp is still without a goal this season. The latest denial coming in the form of John Ruddy blocking brilliantly to maintain a draw for Birmingham at Sheffield United. Anthony Patterson also earning a point for Sunderland as they hosted Preston. Incredible reactions to tip over from Ched Evans. It's not the first time he's done that this season either. I feel like we're speaking about Patterson a fair old bit. Swansea Stephen Bender with a penalty save from West Brom's Carlin Grant. One of those that's made even sweeter because they went up the other end and scored the winner moments later.
Yeah, a few big saves to talk of. You mentioned John Ruddy been really solid for Birmingham, which they talk about sort of signings of the season, goalkeeping signings of the season, to be able to bring him in for that role, you know, given how consistent he's been over the years. And again, he's just stepped in, he's just shown that. And it's something, again, we speak of a lot on the podcast, but having somebody with that experience behind the back four, you know, just, he really has shown his true value already there. And this is an excellent save. Again, very clever goalkeeping, comes out, makes himself so big on the angle. Very, very good save, and is continuing his good work for sure. Patterson, the speed of reactions here, I watched this a few times, and really athletic.
What a save.
Brilliant save. Really explosive, the way in which he's able to get his hand up as quickly as he can. I mean, his whole body goes with it because of how quickly he had to move. But no, I was really, really impressed with this save. And I've been really impressed by him. You know, it's one that, again, a year ago, if someone had said he would have been in this position when they were back in League One and he wasn't playing necessarily or playing as regularly, for him now to be the outright undisputed one and playing to the level that he is, yeah, massive well done to him. He's flying. And similarly, Stephen Bender, you know, out in the cold not so long ago, has come in. Swansea have had a very good run, a couple of penalty saves, this one in particular, very good. Had to manufacture it to an extent because he's dived to his left, the ball's gone slightly inside, and how often do you see it where it just squirms through or creeps through? But he's managed to sort of move his knee, move his arm, and somehow kept it out. And as you say, the fact they then went on and got a winner, big win for them at West Brom, again a huge well done to him.
Elsewhere, there were a couple of unlucky ricochets coming courtesy of Huddersfield's Lee Nicholls and Bristol City's Dan Bentley. Bentley saving well from Chris Willock, but seeing the ball bounce back off the post onto his back and into the path of the QPR man as they won at Ashton Gate. And Nicholls, an unfortunate own goal in similar circumstances and probably as close to a keeper caper as you can get later in that game.
Yeah, tough one for Lee Nicholls. Certainly nothing he can do on the one that hits his back. As you say, defender tries to clear it, he's already dived, and it hits his back and goes in, nothing there. And then I can't help but feel he just got caught by surprise. You know, he's come out, didn't expect the defender to do what he did. And it's one of those ones that's just outside the line, so he can't really do a pickup. Similarities to an extent to the Lloris one we're talking about, because then you're so reliant on just being able to grab it with your hands. You've got nothing behind you to stop the ball, and it just squirmed through. So yeah, horrible one for Lee Nicholls. And you mentioned Dan Bentley makes a brilliant save, full stretch, fingertips onto the post, and that's when you know your luck isn't in, when it comes back and hits you on the back and presents itself for an easy finish. But yeah, take nothing away from the first save.
Just a word on Blackpool as well. Chris Maxwell has come in for Dan Grimshaw. Some quotes from Michael Appleton, if you will. So a difficult conversation probably for Dan more than anyone. Even though he's 23, 24, he's still very young in terms of experience and game time. I just felt he needed a little bit of a break. He obviously had a couple of indifferent games, which is fair enough. That can happen. Did he? Did he have indifferent games? I don't know about that. We saw this last season as well. Actually, I was looking at the fixtures from last season. There was a 5-game run that Blackpool went on, a winless run, but three of those being draws. They brought Maxwell in for Grimshaw, two defeats on the bounce. So Grimshaw then came back in and obviously played for the remainder until he was injured towards the back end of last season. He's played all of this season. I think it's two defeats on the bounce they've had. So Maxwell comes in, but they've lost the game that Maxwell's come in for. Played well, but they lost. So what now?
Well, you often see it. It's one that I feel like we've seen it more this season than ever. Maybe it's just because it's now and it's, you know, very much in our awareness. But even when we're talking about like managers, you know, it's eight managers now, I think it is, in the Championship, eight or nine that have already gone. You know, we're only a handful of games into the season. A third of the managers have been sacked. I think we're seeing a similar thing with goalkeepers, that it's more often than not circumstantial as opposed to how the goalkeeper is playing. So, and my point being is that you could have the goalkeeper who plays the very same in terms of their performance levels, and if the team happened to be in the top six, then it so happens that goalkeeper's in the running for player of the year. Yet if they're in the bottom six, the manager then feels they need to change something, and it seems like the goalkeeper is often the first one to be that change in order to change the dynamics of the team, which I find crazy, because I just naturally I'm looking at the goalkeeper in isolation and looking at their performances, But yeah, how often do we see it? A manager feels like they need to make a change, and that happens to be the change.
I've got another brilliant quote coming up for you later as well, by the way. Stick a pin in that one. You mentioned managers being sacked as well. Chris Wilder sacked from Middlesbrough this week. Good to see a goalkeeping coach in as the interim manager. Leo Perkovic has gone in. So he's the man in the dugout, assisted, of course, by Lee Cattermole, Mark Tinkler and Craig Liddell. But he's the main man.
This is it. No doubt they're going to go on a fantastic run now.
Into League One, where Simon Eastwood is enjoying a renewed lease of life with Oxford United, helping the U's to a point at Charlton with a late 1-1 win over Charlton's George Dobson. Michael Cooper at it again for Plymouth, praised by both managers as the Pilgrims took 3 points from Wickham. And Lucas Jensen of Accrington, now they beat Morecambe 3-1, so not a huge deal, but seemingly lambasted by his own men. It was Ryan Astley, the centre-back, I think, who shinned one over Jensen into his net. Terrible defending, yet all blame, including Astley and his teammates, pointed towards Jensen.
Yeah, and it's so frustrating for a goalkeeper when that happens. Where, so for those that haven't seen it, ball over the top, you see it so many times where defender and goalkeeper are coming together. And yeah, in this point or this case, the defender sort of swipes at the ball, looking to clear it, and has ended up kicking it in his own goal. And so it's then, you do wonder what they're saying to the goalkeeper, because they did seemingly, visually, you can see they're all having a go at him. Now look, could he have done something different in the situation? Perhaps, you know, if the defender's in control, he might have dropped off and given him an angle, maybe. However, if he felt in that moment that he was going to get there first, and he hears, and the defender hears him, then the defender should leave the ball for the goalkeeper to come and clear it. That's the reason he's made the movement he has. So the fact the defender hasn't listened, you would argue that it should then be the other way around, like, listen to my shout. Now, my guess is they're either saying to him one or two things, stay in your goal, or they're saying, we can't hear you, you need to talk louder. But again, you could see that Jensen looked adamant that he had shouted, he had made that call. And that's where it can be tough, I think, as a goalkeeper. Again, you are very much on your own, and it can be that you almost, you have a few people gang up on you. It's like the bullies in the playground. You know, they gang up on you, and that, what do you say? Because again, can you prove that you shouted? Can you prove that you were in control of the situation? Possibly not. So yeah, frustrating one.
In League Two, where we saw a few similar scenarios to what we saw with Jensen and his teammates at Accrington, it was a funny weekend for goalkeepers and outfielders just having moments with each other. So in the game between Bradford and Harrogate, Andy Cook and Peter Jameson, Andy Cook taking a penalty against Jameson, scoring, and Cook really giving it to the Harrogate stopper after netting that pen. The same thing between Josh Davison and Kieran O'Hara. That was the game between AFC Wimbledon and Colchester. And it wasn't just Davison, it was his teammates as well, really giving it to O'Hara. In the same game, at the other end, Nick Zanev made a huge save at the death. This was the other end of the spectrum, where he was congratulated by his defenders, but literally pushed over in the same instance.
I quite enjoyed this. He makes a great save. And then as he stands up, you can see he's quite excited. One of his friends just goes and pushes him over. But it was kind of an affectionate way in which
it was done. Yeah.
So I quite enjoyed this. And you can see they've obviously got a good relationship between them.
I'm sure I've asked you this question before. Attackers giving it to goalkeepers after penalties. Have you had that previously?
Yeah. And I think if you're... I've had it once or twice. I think there's times as a goalkeeper, you'll try and get into their minds prior to it being taken. So you might be talking to them. You might be doing the classic one of just being stood on the 6-yard box or stood right next to them until the referee tells you to go and stand on your line. So there can be a little bit of that. I mean, I can't think of anything specifically where it's got heated. It'll ordinarily be if they've scored, they might just give you a little bit, or vice versa. If you've saved it, you might just give them a look or give them a little bit. So yeah, it's all part of the fun of it.
A couple more interesting notes in League Two that I just wanted to bring up. The first one being the Salford goalkeeping situation. Now, you called this, to be fair. Tom King, who went on international duty with Wales, was replaced by Jacob Chapman, who had been brought in, I think, a month or so earlier on loan from Huddersfield. So he's come in. He's played the game last week, made a very good late save against Sutton, I think it was. He's then played in the EFL Trophy. He's saved an absolute thunderbolt of a penalty from Toby Savin, who was the first penalty taker of the five for Accrington in that game. Don't often see that. But then the game this weekend against Grimsby, King returns from international duty, but Chapman keeps his place.
Yeah, interesting. Well, we touched on it. It's, you know, I'm sure I gave this example, I'll give it again. My time at Blackburn, Brad Friedel, the 4 years that Peter Renkelman was at Blackburn, he played one game of football. And the whole reason was that Bradfield did not want to give up that shirt. You know, he played every single game. And I guess when you do that, you'd never give anybody that chance to have a look in. Now, look, Tom King, of course, he's got to go on international duty. What an opportunity, especially with the World Cup coming up, etc. However, of course, that does give someone a look in. This is a fascinating one for a few reasons, though. And one being, okay, it has given him this opportunity, which he's very much taken. But also, they were eligible for an emergency loan. So it's a massive show of faith, the fact that they didn't do that. Now, I think the fact that he played as well as he did in the EFL trophy game, that then bought him the next game, which, of course, Tom King wasn't eligible for because he was away with Wales. So it was almost like, right, you've got another audition. You've done well in your first audition. You're through to your second audition. He's now got through his second audition. So they're like, you know what, we're going to give you one more game. And seemingly, he's done well again. So what do they do now? You know, it's amazing how the life of a goalkeeper can change so quickly. When you, if you get that opportunity and you take it, everything can change.
And that's why we do this podcast. If only you could talk about it on slightly wider platforms, that'd be brilliant. The quote that I was going to give you was from Grimsby manager Paul Hurst on their goalkeeping situation. Now, we've seen Ollie Battersby, the young lad at Grimsby, go on loan, and they've brought in Jamie Pardington, who was previously with Wolves, I think, and spent a bit of time with Sheffield Wednesday this season, I want to say as well. He's come in on a short-term deal. But I was reading Paul Hurst's comments, I think, before that deal was confirmed, and he said, "At the minute, I don't see a reason to have a goalkeeper on the bench, but I'll judge each situation as it arises. But at the minute, I don't feel it's necessary. In emergencies, whoever I tell to go in goal will go in goal and get on with it."
Wow.
Just get on with it. Go in goal and get on with it. It's fine.
It's not your left back. Same as a left back. Just it's absolutely fine.
How mental is that?
I mean,
the number of subs you can have now as well. I think it's perfectly feasible to have a goalkeeper on the bench.
Is it seven, right? Is it seven or nine?
I think it's seven, yeah, something like that. And you can
It's a seven. I mean, really, do you need that seventh option? Is that the reason you're going to win or lose a game? Or the goalkeeper goes down in a warm-up or goes down 2 minutes into a game. Could it be that you put an outfield player in goal that costs you 3 points, which at the end of the season could be fine? Even for that, the chances that realistically a goalkeeper will come off on average, I think, I don't know what it is exactly, I want to say it's like one in 50 games. So it's probably once a season your goalkeeper will come off. Now, all right, you could look at it and say, well, I might as well, it's only once a season. But no, once a season, if that costs you 3 points a season, 3 points, that could be the difference between a playoff place, a promotion place, a relegation place. Surely the insurance policy alone, it's worth it. Clean Sheet Club. Okay, it's time for this. This certainly, by the way, is something that Fozcast doesn't have. That's right, it's Clean Sheet Club, and we start in the Premier League with Neto, born to be clean, David Raya, contrario de sucio, Lucas Fabianski, tally doubled, Ilian Melier, every game in all competitions since the beginning of last season, Emi Martinez, two from two after none from seven, Danny Ward on the board into the Championship, Tim Krul unbeaten in eight, Ben Wilson back to back, Ben Amos first line of attack, Anthony Patterson with his clean sheet collection of blankety, Freddie Woodman standing strong into League One, James Trafford three on the spin, Joe Wildsmith ram man, Luke Southwood heading north, Brad Collins the phantom of the goalkeeper is here, David Stockdale on the prowl, Michael Cooper there's a rumour for a swooper. And into League Two, Thomas Holy keeping out Crew, Arthur Okonkwo keeping out Carlisle, Glenn Morris slowly, slowly catchy monkey, and Ross Doohan hat trick.
Lovely stuff, Richard. Lovely stuff. The table. So that clean sheet has ensured that Freddie Woodman remains top of the pile with 8 in 11, but he is closely followed by Lawrence Vigouroux, who's now on 7 in 11, and then we have a host of goalkeepers on 6, but I'm just going to name one because he's done it in 10 games, and that is Bolton's James Trafford.
Wow, well there you go.
That all you got for me?
Well, that's what more do you want me to say? Look, big well done to Freddie Woodman. He's back on the clean sheet trail. That is incredible. 8 and 11. James Trafford, I'm assuming the game he missed would have been international related, the fact that he was away with the 21s. But yep, 6 and 10. Excellent. Look, Lawrence Vigouroux, phenomenal season. I know they had their first defeat at the weekend, but a very good start for him.
couple of funnies to finish. Mm-hmm. This was alerted to us, by the way, from Under the Bar GK on Twitter. I should say as well that Kevin Guthrie pointed out the Dominic Booth tweet as well. I like to reference the tweeters that get in touch with us. But Joe Hart had quite a moment in the game between Celtic and Motherwell, I think it was, at the weekend.
Yeah. So he's come out for a punch. He's then retreated to his goal and kind of got a knock to the head. At first, I was quite concerned when I saw he went down and people were stabilising his head. But then moments later, he was back up on his feet again. So, look, I'm assuming it was just one of those moments. He's had a knock to the head, felt a little bit dizzy, but thankfully it was okay.
Is what it is, right?
Is what it is.
We just crack on.
We just crack on.
And three goalkeepers who have moved as well in the past week. Blondie has gone from Stoke to Southend until the end of January. David Martin, unattached to MK Dons, so back to his former club. And Jamie Partington, who we mentioned earlier, has gone into Grimsby.
Yeah, so an interesting one, David Martin. So he's gone as a player coach for the time being. So nice for him to be back involved. He has been there, I think, training throughout pre-season and kind of been involved and helping behind the scenes. So a nice opportunity for him to get into a bit of coaching as well.
Okay, Richard, it's good to see you in more fitted or looser clothing, I think, than I saw you earlier on the Fozcast.
Did you not enjoy?
It's quite snug, wasn't
it? Quite snug. I mean, I have, as you've mentioned several times, I've got very muscular in my old age. And these muscles can be a right pest. So, no, it's nice to be in XL clothing again.
Yeah. 90 to 92, by the way. That's what you were looking for in terms of the era that that shirt existed. I know that none of you actually managed to get that.
Yeah, I could. I was thinking as I was doing the pod, as much as I didn't mention our pod at all, I was thinking, this got to be killing Matt Beal. This has got to be killing him. When we're like, some of the things that were coming out, certainly when it was the old Manchester United memorabilia, and I'm just thinking, yeah, you would be like crying as you're watching this, like so frustrated, seething with anger.
Generally 90s knowledge, really. Not just Manchester United, but just 90s.
90s in general. I mean, you do very much live in the 90s. I mean, you look like you're dressed from the 90s even now. It's a real commitment to the 90s.
Richard, thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers
away. Oh,